The moment I realized alcohol had hijacked my life came at 33. Despite my outward success, director title, six-figure salary, and the trappings of achievement, behind closed doors, I was drinking alone from morning until passing out, hiding airline shots in my purse, and spiraling into chaos. When a concerned doctor friend suggested AA, I bought wine on the way home, denial in its purest form. Yet within 18 months, I not only stopped drinking, but overcame bulimia and recreational drug use, transforming so completely that I quit my job to start a revolution in recovery. This transformation happened at a critical cultural moment, women gaining unprecedented power while facing skyrocketing rates of alcohol addiction. Between 2002 and 2012, alcohol addiction among women rose 84%, with 1 in 10 American women now dying from alcohol-related causes. As we celebrate feminist progress with Rose All Day culture, alcohol-related deaths among women increased 67% in just a decade. This deadly contradiction demands a radical alternative to traditional recovery paths. My relationship with alcohol evolved alongside my life, normal enough to seem typical, yet problematic enough to signal trouble. In high school, drinking was our collective ritual. We took turns sleeping on bathroom floors and rehashing weekend stories on Mondays. I embraced how drinking helped me fit in, even as I resented what it took from me. At Deloitte & Touche, I found professional success but little satisfaction. Work became both suffocating and my escape, the only place where I felt worthy. My job title and waistline became my metrics of value, with wine as my constant companion. By 2011, as a director earning six figures, I was consuming two bottles of wine nightly. While friends built families and homes, I drunk purchased monogrammed sheets to replace wine-stained ones. Despite trying everything from yoga to cleanses, I couldn't heal. The breaking point came when I woke up clutching a pint of Jameson in my wine-stained apartment. I knew the alcohol had to go. Society recognizes only two categories of drinkers, normal and alcoholic. This binary thinking serves alcohol companies by discouraging people from questioning your drinking habits unless they exhibit severe alcoholism symptoms. Without major incidents like DUIs, we're told there's no problem. Unlike cigarettes' known dangers, alcohol maintained a reputation as normal and moderately healthy. The reality? We're consuming poison. Ethanol, the alcohol in drinks, is used in rocket fuel and industrial solvents. Research links alcohol to 7 cancers and numerous diseases. Even one drink disrupts our body's balance, creating an AB process. Initial relaxation followed by increased anxiety. Many problem drinkers wrestle with one question: am I an alcoholic? The breakthrough comes from understanding there's no such thing as an alcoholic, just as there are no cigarette-aholics, only drinkers and non-drinkers. The terms alcoholic and alcoholism are harmful constructs that prevent drinkers from examining their relationship with alcohol. This black and white thinking creates false security, focusing only on severe addiction when 90% of heavy drinkers aren't clinically addicted, while perpetuating the myth of normal drinking. Instead of fixating on, am I an alcoholic, a question that enables drinking until the answer is yes, we should ask more meaningful questions. Is alcohol limiting my happiness? Is it shrinking rather than expanding my life? Does it make me dislike myself? The flaws in our thinking become evident when comparing alcohol to other drugs. If cocaine were as normalized as alcohol, present at family dinners and celebrated as mommy powder, we'd still warn against becoming cocaine-aholics while promoting responsible use. Yet research shows alcohol is more harmful than cocaine to both individuals and society. Addiction creates a vicious neurobiological cycle. Alcohol floods our system with dopamine, forcing our brain to raise its pleasure threshold while releasing stress hormones to counter the excess. Meanwhile, alcohol weakens the prefrontal cortex, our willpower center, explaining why someone can swear off drinking in the morning yet buy wine by evening. At a women's recovery symposium, AA's core messages about humility and controlling ego felt fundamentally misaligned with women's needs. These principles, which tell women to be smaller and less self-trusting, often compound rather than heal existing wounds. AA emerged from 1930s America, created by privileged white Protestant men shortly after women's suffrage and before civil rights. Women weren't initially included. They were viewed only as wives of alcoholics. The Big Book's Two Wives chapter even instructs women to avoid anger and nagging while serving their husband's recovery. The program's emphasis on humility and ego deflation, while perhaps appropriate for its original audience of privileged men, can be harmful for women. Rather than empowering women who've historically lacked power, these principles risk reinforcing the very subordination that contributed to their addiction. As Glennon Doyle states, every girl must decide whether to be true to herself or true to the world. After years of hearing I was too much or not enough, I became a hollow shell filled with addictions. Rather than continue this self-destruction, I began loving myself, affirming my worth, reclaiming disowned parts, and nurturing my body through yoga, meditation, and self-care. Unlike traditional recovery that demands submission, I built an approach addressing all aspects of human potential: internal processes, physical body, environment, and relationships. Where patriarchal models assume defectiveness and demand rigid rules, feminine-centric recovery starts with wholeness. The goal isn't sobriety itself, but creating a life you don't need to escape from. Sobriety emerges naturally from deeper healing. Key elements include reframing sobriety as emancipation rather than deprivation, breaking addiction cycles, developing healthy coping skills, addressing root causes, trauma, health, relationships, treating sobriety as a learned skill rather than demanding perfection, and allowing recovery to evolve with you. Recovery isn't about willpower, but creating new neural pathways through practice. Willpower is a finite cognitive function called inhibition. Though the brain is only 2% of body mass, it uses 20% of our energy, with conscious processes demanding significant glucose. Breaking addiction requires preparation before cravings hit. The process starts upon waking, not at 5 p.m. when cravings peak. A deliberate morning ritual preserves cognitive function and willpower throughout the day, preventing evening alcohol desperation. Recovery means addressing root causes, unhealed traumas, destructive patterns, lack of purpose, and poor physical health. Trauma isn't the disturbing event itself, but how our bodies respond when we can't process experiences. For significant trauma, somatic therapies often work better than talk therapy. While you can survive recovery on cigarettes and coffee and donuts, sustainable growth requires better physical care. After quitting drinking, your body rebalances with symptoms like exhaustion, acne, and insomnia, normal healing signs that shouldn't be resisted. Sobriety isn't about perfection, but showing up daily, finding pride in small steps rather than absolute measures. It's about building connections and creating a life so fulfilling that alcohol becomes irrelevant through abundance, not deprivation.